note the source of authority, religious matters, and how to establish authority from that source. Every Christian, every member of the church, has got to know how to establish Bible authority. You can't rely, you can't say, well, I'm going to study on how we're saved by grace or saved by faith and pick up someone else's writing, though it might be a good writing, the truth of the book, and just say, well, I'm going to believe it because so-and-so believes it. You have to know yourself how to establish Bible authority. And I think it's an area where we understand the importance of it. We've heard many, many, many lessons on it. But it's an area where I think so many in the Lord's church still do not know how to arrive at Bible authority for themselves. And we've got to study that and know how to do that. Without authority from God for beliefs and actions, one trusts human-driven, subjective thought and feeling. He's going to talk about subjective versus objective. No. This ultimately leads to damnation, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-3. 9. To know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thus, the first four lessons, and I'll give you a copy of them in this little packet, and this series will be dedicated to a study of authority. I may try to give you some copies of some nice little charts that you can maybe in a study just have to go over some charts with individuals on authority. Number one, the need for an objective source of truth and authority. We'll start on Blaine's side. Blaine, can you read A for us?
Like Pilate, many ask, what is truth?
So you got, according to John 18:38, he asked the question, what is truth? And he put truth in that blank. Not everyone knows what truth is. A lot of folks think that truth is arrived at based upon what you feel and how you think. That's just simply not the case. You put in the margin of your handout here, and a good answer to that is John 17:17. Pilate asked the question we just mentioned in John 18, what is truth? And when the Lord was praying to the Father, he answered the question by saying, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth. And so as you think about what is truth, it's the word of God. We'll go on around the room. If you don't feel comfortable reading, you don't have to, but pray if you want the next one. Number one.
Subjective, based on feelings or opinions rather than facts, modified or affected by personal views, experience, or background. And the Webster's Dictionary.
Good job. Brenda?
Such thinking people conclude, you have your truth while I have my truth.
Jennifer?
If truth were subjective, then we would all have different standards, which would be equally true and valid.
Sally?
The result of viewing truth as being subjective is every man doing blank is blank in his own mind.
You're on 12-8. What is right in his own eyes. And that's what that leads to. And so the point that has just simply been made here is to think about subjective truth. You see that word, to subject something, and you expose it to something that is being subjected to. Subjective means you are subjected based upon your feelings, what you think, some experience. It's not based upon a standard that is immovable, that is always the same, but it's static. It's ever-changing. It's subjective. It's based upon feelings. And that leads to every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. There's no way you'll achieve unity by going based upon what everyone thinks is right. C, the need for an objective source of truth from which we find authority, an objective source. I won't call on anyone. We'll just go on around the room to everybody. Right. See, we're on this, and we'll work our way over this.
Objective based on feelings or opinions, not influenced by feelings.
Number two?
No.
Here? Here? Only with an objective source of truth can we all speak the same thing, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
You've heard that before? We recently talked about the number three.
The reason for the division in the religious world today is because the truth is being subjective instead of objective in its nature.
Look, when you think about, and it's not but objective, rather, and we touched on this last week, when you look at a passage, I don't care what the passage is, Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19, which says what? Yeah. Say, make a vow in your heart to the Lord. And so you read that, and someone says, well, okay, I understand that's what it says, but here's what it means. And then they give something that's completely off in left field. How about just saying, yes, that's what it says, and I believe what it says? But when you're going based upon what you think is right, well, then that's open to any man's opinion. And one opinion is what? As good as another. So you cannot achieve unity based upon ideas. D. Want that one more?
There must be an objective source of authority we can all find and follow.
These passages you've looked at before, we Matthew 7:13-14 talks about two ways. Right? A narrow way is a broad way. Yeah, or a wide way. John 14:4-6. Conversation of the Lord saying with the apostles. I am. And then in Romans 15:6. Yeah, now think about what he just said. With one mind and one mouth glorify God. He was like 1 Corinthians 1:10. One mouth, you speak the same thing. And it's only by doing that that we can glorify God. Philippians 3:16 really just nails that down as to how that's achieved. Go ahead, Mark.
Walk by the same rule, same mind.
That's right. Going by what the Bible says. Just walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And so, truth is not subjective. It's not based upon or arrived at what one thinks or feels or some experience, but it's objective. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, the psalmist declares. Not for a little while, but for ever. Any thoughts about that?
Sometimes establishing authority and truth, you have to. You can't just read one verse and sometimes that be the end all. You have to maybe know what surrounds that. And, you know, thou shalt not kill, but if you kill, then you got killed for killing. So you have to sometimes go a little bit more than just one isolated verse.
That's right. That's right. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You just pick and choose something. You read one statement and think, well, that's the end all. You get yourself in trouble. If I pick out some sayings that Jesus did, just said, well, I'm going to run out and do that, not paying attention to who he was talking to and why he said it, look at the mess we could get ourselves in. Judas went out and hanged himself. The Lord said, that thou dost do quickly. Go and do thou likewise. So if I didn't pay attention to the context of that, what might I do? Quickly hang myself like Judas. So you got to Bell's point, it's a good point. You got to pay attention to what The text is saying. But a lot of people that you study with, when we talk about it, you have opportunity to study with someone, I need to study about authority with them. Now, you may run into someone, and many times this is the case, that they say, I'm not going to argue with that. I know that the Bible is the Word of God. I'll accept what the Bible says. And then other times, it's not that way. One of the things you're going to find is, number two addresses, is a lot of people arrive at authority based upon a lot of various different standards, setting feelings and so forth aside. Some go by their conscience. We talk about conscience and the wisdom of men, the majority, and parents, and law of Moses in this next point. And so here's where a lot of people place their authority, but it is not found in the following, not found in conscience. What's Proverbs 14:12 say?
There's a way that seems right for a man, and there's not what the way to do.
Seems right, but it's not right. Seems like it might be right, but the end thereof, not life, but death. In Acts 26:9-11, for the sake of time, it's Paul that's talking. He said, I thought many times I ought to do what?
Anything contrary to the law.
Anything's contrary to the name of Christ. In all conscience, he was doing that, thinking that he was doing God's service. So you can't go based upon what your conscience states. Before we move on, I'll give you another passage, kind of right in the margin of it. You know what Paul did going out and compelling individuals to blaspheme, and they were put to death, and he was a witness to that. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogue, day the time cometh. But whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth what? God's service. Thinking that it's right, thinking that they're doing what God would have them to do it, though they were killing, he's talking to the apostles, though they killed you. The thing about the conscience is your conscience can be what? It can be wrong. Because conscience is something that is trained. Not something you're born with. You're not born to automatically know what God expects of you. You've got to be taught that. A lot of folks are born and never taught the truth. And they don't do the truth. And many of them are born and not taught the truth, but they grow up and they come to a knowledge of the truth. But it can be trained. Not like this example I've used it numerous times in Bible study, but if I were to tell Ethan, now look, when he was a little boy, when we go over to someone's house, say we're going to go over and we're going to visit Ray and Brenda. If you see something that they've got on their shelf and you like it, when they walk out of the room, you take it and just slip it in your pocket. Well, we might go to Ray and Brenda. Kids do not do that. But when we go to Ray and Brenda's, and they walk out of the room, you think his conscience is going to bother him? No, because Mom and Dad said that's what I'll do. But if you tell your kids when we go visit someone or we go to the store, you keep your hands to yourself, guess what? I'm not going to do that because Mom and Dad said, oh, look, your conscience can be trained. Saul's conscience was trained. But he was doing wrong. You cannot go based upon your conscience. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I knew a fellow from a very remote tribe in Africa. And he was an elder in this particular tribe. He'd come over here to study. And in the tribe that he was reared in, it was a shame, as they were taught, it was a shame for a woman to have long hair, but it was a disgrace for the men to have short hair. That's what they taught their young. So as a result of that, he had a big elaborate headpiece that had hair on it because that's what they wore. That's what he was taught. Now you think that his conscience said, you know, this is backwards. Now we would look at that and say, that's backwards. But his conscience didn't bother him. Why? He was taught that. from a very young age. And so you cannot go based upon your conscience. You cannot go based upon the wisdom of men. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. You should probably quote that. That was Proverbs 14.
That was your man is not in himself, not to direct his own, can't direct his own self.
Good, good, Mark. Good job. And so, we're dependent upon God. It's not in you. It's not in me. And Jeremiah 10:23 is an excellent passage. If somewhere that were to say, well, it's somehow innate, you're born with it. How do you reconcile that with what Jeremiah said? We're dependent upon God. And I want no truth except that. How do I come to the knowledge of truth? Read. You'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3. But notice that Jeremiah 10:23, we're dependent upon God. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in
the
power of God. Don't put your faith, your trust in men. No matter who it is. But in God. And base it upon what God's Word says. So don't allow your conscience to be your guide. Don't allow the wisdom of men to be your guide. Another passage you can put down to that, which excellent goes along with it, is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 23. Where's the wise? Where's the scribes? And so forth. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so forth. Cannot go based upon the majority. The majority can be wrong. And many times are. In Exodus 23:2.
Shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside many after many to pervert justice.
Good. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And again, Matthew 7:13-14, talking about the broad way and how many got his going there at. Many. The majority. Many compared to few. And so you cannot go based upon, well, but everybody else is doing it. And many times are, we've got a lot of good young people. Don't mistake what I'm saying when I say this, but many times, as a young person, sometimes we reason from the standpoint, but look what everybody else is doing. I remember being young and grappled with this myself. How can it be that everybody is wrong? Just a few, just a small group is right. But it's always been the case. It's always been the case. Genesis chapter 6 and Noah, we talk about that. And 8 souls saved in the ark. And Israel and God's people. You cannot go based upon parents. Matthew 10:37 says what? Let's go back over here and get back where we was at. Let's see. Mark, can you guys read?
I can. Matthew 10:37.
Right.
He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
You love your parents? Everybody loves close to parents. Usually. But we can't put any earthly relationship above our relationship with Christ. Matthew 15:3-9.
He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother what he would have gained from me is given to God, he needs not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You're hypocrites. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but not but their hearts is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching the commandments of men.
And you see, good job, Jenny. You see all the way through there, why do you transgress the commandment of God? By your tradition. In verse 9, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, 13 and 14 talked about his background and how zealous he was concerning those things. Okay? In Galatians 1, 13 and 14.
You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, among my countrymen being more extremely zealous for my ancestral tradition.
Being zealous. Now, I caution you on this point when you're doing a study. Folks can get very defensive when it comes to their parents. I may like some mother and father talk about it. Now, I don't talk about their mother and father. Especially if mom and dad have passed away. You've got to be careful as you're studying with people about from this standpoint. You handle it how you want to, but I'll share with you how I do. When I make the point about you cannot go based upon what your parents say, before I say to them, you cannot go based upon what your mom and what your dad say, guess who I use as an example? My own parents. And I just mentioned to them, I had really good parents. I loved my parents, took care of us, they raised us best they could. But my dad wasn't the standard. My mom was not the standard. That's a better approach than starting with their parents, you see. And how do you handle it when someone says, what are you saying, my mom and dad? And they pass away. You say my mom and dad are lost? And where are you going? You're going to run into that, I guarantee you. So how are you going to handle that? You say my mom and dad's lost?
I didn't say it.
God's word is the standard. You've got to be real careful about that. If their parents have died, one thing I say to them is that's God's jurisdiction. That's God's. God will take care of that. He'll render a righteous judgment. We're talking about you. Time and opportunity is on your side. It's on my side. You could lose your study if you don't approach that in a good way. You say my mom and dad's lost, I can hear the screaming now. You don't want to insult them, you don't. And it may very well be the fact that they talked with you and you know that they died outside the Lord, but it's not about their parents. It's about what they're going to do. And I've said to folks before now, was your mom and dad honest? Yes. Well, if they were here and they could learn like you've learned and they could see the truth like you see the truth, do you think your mom and dad would want you to obey the truth? Most of the time, folks will say, yeah, my mom and dad would want me to do what's right. Just be careful about how you approach that. All right, the law of Moses, you cannot put your confidence, it's not the standard, but people put their, as a standard, they put their faith and their confidence in the law of Moses. Colossians 2:14, our time's almost gone.
Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Good. Good job. And then Galatians 3, 23 through 25, we'll have to end with this point. Galatians 3, 23 through 25.
But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ.
Good job. That's a good passage. But once faith came, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster was what? The law of Moses. So, it sums this up by saying, thus, religious authority must be found somewhere other than in these. And we'll try to finish up this lesson next week. So go ahead for next week, do number 3. And finish reading through that. A lot of that you already know because we talked about. Maybe a chart on the chain of revelation. We talked about that in here as well. And go ahead and do the next lesson on establishing Bible authority. Any thoughts or comments? Simple stuff, but it's vital. Very important. I appreciate your good attention.